RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 83 with guest Chris Stoneff. Recorded Thursday, October 23rd, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Howdy. How's it going?
Things are good, man. I guess we're off to the next show, wherever that may be. I lose track with this whole time shifting of recording thing.
Well, see, this is the magic of I'm actually on an airplane flying to Las Vegas right now.
You think so?
You're in Las Vegas, yet somehow we're able to talk to each other.
I don't know how you keep track of all this, but yeah, we're probably in Dev Connections, and I know we were going to interview Mark Manassi there, so that'll be good fun.
Live in front of an audience.
There's something about Mark. I think he just sets us off that we all get a little unruly when we start talking.
Mark is always an interesting conversation, right?
Yeah,
and a whole lot of fun. Yeah. And always a good source of information as well, but always a lot of fun to talk to.
Well, and it seems like this whole fall, we're going to be doing mostly live shows in front of audiences or recorded at conferences. So you never know exactly what you're going to get. It's as much fun for us as it is for the listener. And for the listener, if you have any questions, concerns, shows we're missing, things you'd like to see us do, send us an email, info@runasradio.com.
Right. It's your ideas that drive the content here. We want to make sure we're delivering what you need.
Absolutely. Let's introduce our guest. Chris Stoneff oversees Lieberman Software's product management and is responsible for integrating the real-world needs of clients into the company's product offerings. With more than 13 years of system administration, consulting, training, and product management experience, Mr. Stoneff is instrumental in guiding the development of Lieberman Software Solutions portfolio. An accomplished consultant and technical trainer, he has taught thousands of administrators on fundamental and advanced concepts of Windows management and security topics and key technologies. Chris holds more than a dozen certifications, including MCSA Messaging, MCSE Security, MCT, and CTT Plus. He's also a frequent contributor to the IT publications. Mr. Stoneff has been with Lieberman Software since 2004. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
So the topic of the day, Lieberman Software does a bunch of different products, but this the password management tools are interesting to me. And we've never really spent a half hour on passwords. And I think we ought to.
Well, I tell you, the passwords are kind of a pain for everybody, you know, for users, for administrators, and certainly for anything relating to security. And this is really where the strength of our products start to come through.
So let's talk about passwords. Before we dive into maybe solutions for passwords, maybe we should talk about what some of the problems are.
Sure.
I know, coming from an online banking background, I've had to deal with the fact that passwords are, in many cases, no longer even acceptable as the standalone form of authentication, right? But even then, you know, why are passwords such a weak way of doing things, or what are the problems associated with passwords?
Well, the problems associated with passwords are, ironically, they're the problem where some people, you know, they flat out forget the passwords in the case of an end user, or in the case of an account that's been running services for years and nobody knows what's going on. And problems are extending from passwords are also revolving around people who know too much because those same passwords have been used for years. And then you have problems where the administrators leave or people start talking and now everybody has access to things that they shouldn't have access to. But these passwords, they never change.
Sharing a single account and password around, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you deal with passwords all day long, in and out, you know, there comes a time where you have to change these passwords for these very reasons. You know, unlike things that change on a regular basis, like say smart tokens and cat cards and things like that, that provide certificate-based forms of authentication that are, well, potentially more secure in any case, there are still some things that require passwords, like service accounts, you know, where you don't have these interactive logins where somebody can punch in a code or even come by with a card or things like that. So you're not going to get away from passwords, at least not yet. And so administrators have to deal with them. Banks have to deal with them. Government has to deal with them. They're not going anywhere, not for a while.
One of the problems with password management has to do with, say, take a classic sort of a Windows or any kind of a directory where, you know, you're going to have a policy that the password has to be changed every X number of days, right? The cost associated with an IT help desk or a service desk that has to take calls from users whose accounts have expired, for example. The passwords have expired. They can no longer access their account and they can't do work. Have you had to deal with those kinds of problems? Have you had to think about solutions for that particular problem?
For the end users, most definitely. We have products out there that do allow users to self-service their own passwords to remove the help desk out of the loop and, you know, provide full logging of everything that's going on. But yeah, when you have users calling up all day, every day, you know, help desk is busy resetting passwords instead of solving real problems. So that's a waste of time and money. Users are spending time chit-chatting and they're wasting more time beyond just resetting their own passwords. So, you know, you got to keep in mind when you set a password policy too, that there's a fine balance between the type of users that you have to deal with and the type of information that you're trying to protect by having these regular password changes. But certainly end users represent one full stream. And there's a lot of companies, you know, that are moving in the direction of managing users' passwords, and removing, but more to the point, what's good with what the companies are doing now, like take Microsoft's UAC, for example, or these are the same sort of things that OS X is already doing or that Unix has been doing for years, is where they're removing users' rights from being administrators, full-time administrators. And in this case, when they let their passwords out, the users let their passwords out, or they forget their passwords or things like that, it's not as big of a deal as it used to be, just because they aren't necessarily administrators anymore.
Right. So the access associated with an account is being limited, as opposed to being give them everything. It's give them nothing unless you specifically authorize access to certain information. Right. Talking about, you know, expiration of passwords. It's great that there's tools and there's products out there to help solve problems associated with user account passwords, or, you know, whether it's service accounts or what have you. But, you know, you mentioned policy, you know, and setting policy. One of the things, so let me toss an example out there. Usability of a policy. I always set a password expiration policy as a multiple of 7, so like 42 days instead of 45 days or 60 days. So that way, if I change my password on a Tuesday, I'm going to have to change my password again on a Tuesday, as opposed to over a weekend where I have to call a help desk. Can you think of any other, are there any other recommendations that you generally make as far as policy management goes?
Well, just the fundamental point there is, number one, you have to make sure that these passwords are expiring and that they're not being circumvented with that simple little password never expires flag on an individual account. These are things that all companies have the ability to set, and a lot of them do set from time to time. Right. As far as good policy, I'm definitely a fan of locking out accounts that fail to log in. I'm definitely a fan of frequent password changes when possible. I mean, even just beyond regular user accounts, we have processes in play that change certain account passwords every single day. You know, the problem with long-standing accounts is, of course, all that people need really to break into an account is time. There's no truly definitively secure process. It just takes time. So really the best that you can do with security, at least in my opinion and my experience, is to make security difficult enough to bypass, where people either give up because the things are changing once, you know, before they can actually break what they found, to make it so that it takes them long enough where you can actually catch them in the act. So with regards to specific policies, I would just say frequent.
Isn't daily a little extreme? Are users going to tolerate that?
Well, those aren't, I'm sorry, I should explain. Those aren't policies for specific end users.
Okay.
Those are policies that we employ for specific accounts. The things that protect our proprietary data, the items that reside over information that falls under mutual non-disclosure agreements that we have with our partner companies and things like that.
Right, so not accounts that end users would typically log into on a regular basis, but maybe just an occasional use account type of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but even if you are changing passwords once a day, how How do you manage that? I mean, how do you make that account usable when you do need to use it?
Well, this gets into some of what we do with our privileged password management or privileged user password management or shared account password management. There's 14 different buzzwords, I'm sure, for how we describe what it is that we're talking about. But there's we provide a number of automated solutions, and there's other companies out there that do as well, that set up policies that will go out and find these accounts and literally change their password, in some cases hourly, if you so desire. So you have what is effectively a one-time use password, you know, that has a lifetime on it. So even if you got shoulder surfers or anybody else that might be out there looking at the sticky note that you wrote this 60-character password onto. I said 60 characters. I really was not exaggerating. I mean, Windows allows you up to 127, but and we can certainly do that as well. But yeah, we have you need a tool really to do something like that. And this gets into what it is that my company offers and what starts getting into our area.
Well, if you're going to change the password more often, if the password interval is shorter than the amount of time it takes for me to write it down on a sticky note, then, you know, that's pretty strong, right?
Well, you know, therein lies the goal, not to make it unusable, you know, so presumably if we're doing 60-character passwords, we're not giving you a 10-minute lifetime. This is probably going to take you that long to look up and down for what you're writing. But, you know, in most cases, the average case is let's say that you have a password that lives for a day, a 24-hour period, you know, that is running, or that's not so much running special services, but is used to access special areas of your network. You know, when you have things that run services, you have to give them a little more leeway because there's a lot of other things that can be affected, so you can't change the password every single hour. But certainly for those privileged accounts, you have a lot of leeway to do anything that you want to do to make them inaccessible.
Right. Well, you're an expert in the industry, and everybody has opinions on this, but I'd be curious to know what you think about complexity of passwords versus length versus, and especially an interesting conversation always is passwords versus passphrases. By passphrase, I mean I might type something like, my dog's name is Skippy with, you know, natural spacing and punctuation and different things in it, but, you know, it's long, it's relatively complex. But what's your opinion about the right and best way to do things?
The complexity doesn't make so much of a difference, at least up to a certain length. So, for example, Microsoft is my favorite example. They use the LAN manager hashes. They're turned on by default for everything, and they apply to all characters or all passwords up through 14 characters unless an administrator has expressly turned off the LAN manager hashes. And then at that point, you only have the NTLM hashes. But the problem with the LM hash is that, number one, Microsoft has been using it since day one. Number two is that there's no salting provided. So the hash of the password that you look at today will never vary in any way, shape, or form, even if you rehash it, you know, 10 years from now, where if you have something, say, with salt, you hash it once, it looks this way. You hash it again, it looks a completely other way. So the problem with that is that once you know what the hash algorithm is, which is widely understood, you can literally generate the entire hash population from 1 to 14 characters, which again is the length that the Microsoft LM hashes go up to, and get your password just by comparing hashes. In fact, there's plenty of tools out there to do that. Say, for example, rainbow tables. You can do your search on your favorite search engine. You can download rainbow tables. There's plenty of tools to create them. And quite literally, you can go from extracting the LM hashes to comparing them in a rainbow table to obtaining a 14-character mixed case alphanumeric special character sort of password and get it in less than 2 minutes.
Not necessarily a great scenario for the average administrator, right?
No, not in the least. You know, there's lots of little things that they can do to help out. You know, but it some of that even comes down to physical security. But when you start dealing, you know, in that case there, you have a 14 character with spaces, with hyphens, with special characters, you know, the pound sign and so on, and it doesn't do you a lick of good compared to, it might as well have just been a password that said password. Right. Now, if you were to compare that same thing to, say, something that was 15 characters long, again, using Microsoft as our example, now all of a sudden you don't have the LM hash. You don't have the widely understood, easily guessable, easily crackable sort of hashes. So in that case, even if you did 15 ones in a row, it would be infinitely harder to crack than would, say, something that was my dog Spot that had the zeros and the exclamation marks and whatnot. So definitely a fan of length over complexity, for sure.
Interesting.
All right. So what do we mean exactly when we talk about privileged account password management? I know this is a tool that Lieberman makes. What's a privileged account?
Well, the privileged account we would describe as those accounts that have access to, say, privileged areas of your computers and your information. These would be potentially the built-in administrators. Any of your service accounts, which generally you're going to find the majority of your service accounts are going to have some sort of domain-wide access to run whatever it is that they're doing on these computers, or the scheduled task accounts or the application account.
So, I mean, typical administrator accounts is what we're talking about here.
Okay. So with your built-in administrator account, these are accounts that exist on every system. In the Unix world, you'd refer to this account as root.
Right.
The account that is always there, has the same user ID or relative ID, and is therefore easily enumeratable, if that's even a word. But it means that there's a portion of that ID that we can always look for and say, this is this account. This is the one that we need to focus on breaking on. So we can target those accounts quite easily because they have the access to literally the unfettered access, and there's nothing you can do about these accounts too.
Right.
You know, you can disable them, but in some cases they'll become re-enabled automatically. Again, Windows is our favorite example. Even if you disable the administrator account, it becomes re-enabled the second that you go into safe mode. You can use a Nopix boot disk to re-enable it. You can use repair processes to re-enable it. It's very easy to get back at, is what I'm saying. So when you deal with these accounts, the best you can do to an administrator is, again, slow it down, by denying it access, by disabling it, but you'll never make it unusable, is the whole point. So what we're trying to do with these accounts is limit their attack vectors, because, of course, finding the account's one thing, but being able to log in as the account is another.
Right.
So what our products are targeting is being able to, number one, identify these accounts no matter what they've been named, because, of course, you have to be able to find it in order to manage it. And then number two is change those passwords on a very regular basis, because the built-in administrator accounts are there primarily as that fire call backdoor, oh, my God, I need to fix my system sort of an account at this point. And so we want to change those passwords on a regular basis. We want to make sure that nobody knows what the password is, but that we can make them available, the passwords, that is, when the accounts are actually needed to perform those disaster recovery type scenarios.
So for the average system administrator who is hearing this information for the first time, this probably sounds a little bit scary.
Well, you know, it can, because there's a lot of companies out there that have relied on the built-in administrator to do everything. You know, they do from simple admin rights, they give their users administrator rights, which is a problem in and of itself. But again, with that built-in administrator, which is a bigger problem, you have, in most cases, folks have deployed these computers with scripts, with images, and that means that every computer out there has the same administrator account, has the same password, and in a lot of cases, folks are relying on that from the standpoint of always being able to get into their computers. But from somebody who's trying to break in, they're relying on that because once they crack one system's password,
they've got them all.
They effectively have access to every single system. I mean, you got to understand, when you have a domain, you still have individual SAMs, the security accounts manager. That's where that built-in administrator resides.
Sure.
And all you need to access any of the computers, the username and password. You know, so when an administrator says, I'm not comfortable with changing a password, I'm saying, how can you be comfortable with leaving it the same for 10 years?
Exactly. How can you be comfortable with not changing a password? Yeah. So how do we solve that problem? I mean, what specifically, you guys offer tools to help in this area, but, you know, so we can talk about tools, we can talk about process, but how do we solve this problem in a way that's meaningful so that you know, so that we know that we've got it covered.
You mean with regards to making sure that one computer can't access another? Or do you mean with regards to making sure nobody knows what the passwords are? It's all kind
yes,
of the same
exactly.
thing. But they're all things that administrators need to consider. There's plenty of tools out there. Lieberman Software makes a number of tools that can help them out with these things. You're looking at, again, regular password changes. You're looking at making sure that when those passwords are transmitted across the network or stored, that they're not sent in plain text. You're looking at making sure that when those passwords are stored, that they're not stored in a safe where you have no idea who's accessing them when and where. And you need to make sure that when people do need access to those passwords, that they can actually get them in a meaningful way, where we're actually logging who's gaining access, when they're gaining access, and what they're doing these things for. And so, like you said, my company certainly makes a number of tools, but there's other people out there, too, that make tools for this as well.
Right. We need to be able to have an audit trail so that we can see who did what.
Right. Well, if they have to deal with anything like SOX or PCI or just basic company governance, knowing who has access to the administrative accounts, when, where, and how is absolutely mandatory. And when you're in that baseline scenario where you have every single computer deployed with the same account and the same password, and you've had administrators come and go, you've had help desk come and go, you really have no idea who's actually causing a problem using these built-in accounts.
So, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, you work for a company that builds software to help solve these problems, and I appreciate the fact that I have to push you a little bit to talk about what you guys have done, but why don't you tell us what you guys have done specifically to help administrators, you know, in enterprises or companies solve this problem with your tools? What do you enable? What do you do that's above and beyond the tools they get just with the Windows or the Active Directory infrastructure that they buy?
Well, you know, it's funny. Windows doesn't provide you with a single thing to manage all of your systems at once. They give you, the computer management interface or Active Directory services to do. In the case of Active Directory, you can do the domain built-in administrator. In the case of computer management, you can do the that single computer's administrator. But that's relying on human touch, and it's not addressing the needs of logging, the needs of secure access, or anything like that. So what our tools do, if you were to, there's a couple of different tools that we can do, but we'll focus on on one in particular called Enterprise Random Password Manager. Or ERPM, as we'll refer to it from here. What it does is it allows you to do on this automated basis, and that's really the key, is number one, to identify all of your systems that are out there. And it does this automatically and builds a system list for you. Because obviously, if you don't know what's out there, then you're not managing everything. And that's really one of the key components to ensuring your security, is ensuring that you know that you're managing everything. So number one, once we get the systems, then what this Enterprise Random Password Manager does is allows you to create a password change job for a scheduled basis that will go out and touch every single system and purposefully break that peer-to-peer model by giving each and every single computer, talking about the built-in administrator account as an example, by giving each and every one of those accounts a totally unique password, up to 127 characters if you want.
Okay.
But in any case, so when you give every single computer that totally unique password, you're fixing the problem, number one, of the fact that by breaking one computer, you're effectively a domain administrator because now you have the password to every single system. You're fixing that problem because no two machines have the same password. So if, by chance, you break one, it's just the one system, so you're limiting the scope of their attack. Number two is that with a schedule basis, we can do this very frequently, as much as hourly, as often as yearly, if they see fit. So by doing, again, the automated changes, there's a couple of things that's happening there. As we're doing regular changes, because, again, as we mentioned before, all people need is time to get into a system. So if we change it regularly, you're limiting that time attack vector. So that's a good thing. Number two, because it's automated and done by the tool, nobody knows what the passwords are. Not right away. We're going to provide them access to it in a delegated and audited fashion in our web interface. But until that time, nobody knows what the password is. So think about it from a company standpoint or from that IT administrator standpoint. We just fired junior admin, or we just fired head admin, or head admin left for whatever reason. Maybe it wasn't such a good breaking of ties here. But now we, without a tool like this, we need to worry about what systems he can get into and what his attack vectors are. Well, if you can eliminate that hole that exists on every single system, you've really mitigated his ability to cause a lot of damage. So now you're just back at two other real attack vectors for him in terms of using accounts and the passwords is the service accounts and would be his own account. Well, disabling his own account is one thing. That's very easy. That's just right-click disable.
Service accounts is a whole different story.
Right. Because you've got, number one, the built-in admin account that of course, we're managing and providing access to when people need it, but until then, nobody knows it. But you still have that privileged process account. That's the one that's really scary to administrators for many reasons. From simple stuff to, I don't want to take down my business to change this password, but I know I have to. We have no idea where this account is actually used in our environment. You know, we like to think that it's used for, let's take our average company here. We'd like to believe that it's used for just these, 10 or 15,000 servers. But in reality, I know that it could be used on services that weren't documented on some of these servers. I know that it could be used to run services on my workstations because my developers or my other administrators were doing things with these accounts, and they have to go through a change process to get a new service account, so they don't do that. Instead, they just use an account that they already know because, again, you're looking at accounts that will rarely change, and not for a good reason, but for fear.
Yeah, fear of breaking things.
Right, so fear of breaking things, absolutely. I mean, if you consider, if you take the average failure rate or miss rate, let's say it's even 1% of 10,000 computers, that's still 100 systems.
Yeah.
Right, if I'm doing my math right. That's still a lot of systems that are going to fail right off the bat just because we missed that password. Now, if you figure generic lockout account policies say three times within a period of time and we're going to lock out the account, well, now missing that 1% of your systems has killed that service account.
Right.
And everything that depends on that service account is going to fail. Now, if you talk about these are the databases that house our transactions, for our company, when we're doing purchasing or when we're doing sales or anything like that, or maybe it's the backup strategy for people's payroll. there's a lot of horrible, horrible things that can happen. And you're talking literally billions of dollars because of even an hour of downtime in some cases to fix this, let alone even trying to track it down. So, again, dealing with that Enterprise Random Password Manager, the scope extends beyond just changing the built-in admin account passwords. It extends into these process accounts. And process, I'm including service and task and application and so on.
Right.
So when we go to change these process accounts on a regular basis, and this isn't something that you should be doing it often, but you can't do it as often as you can, say, a built-in administrator, just because, again, of the scope of what these accounts can affect. So when we change these process accounts with Enterprise Random Password Manager, it's the same thing. It's automatic system discovery, create the password policy change job, and when we go through and we change these accounts, is that we're also scanning on each of our target systems the services, the scheduled tasks, COM objects, the applications, all of these things that exist on these machines. We are scanning to make sure that when we change this process account, that we are also getting everywhere where this account is referenced.
Gotcha.
Now, so you got to consider what that means.
That's a lot.
Of this, everywhere where that account's referenced, right? I mean, if you got, again, we're talking about trying to remove that fear of what happens when I change an account. So we can give them kind of a read-only view, where they can see beforehand what's out there. And it's interesting even in our own environment sometimes how I find users using their own accounts for services on their own systems or for scheduled tasks, and they wonder why their account gets locked out. Well, our tools give us that view to see, okay, well, how did you get yourself locked out if you didn't type in your password wrong? Well, they just changed it, you know, which updated the Active Directory portion, but...
But the scheduled task is still running under the old password, yeah.
Right. And again, this is what our Enterprise Random Password Manager tool is solving for those process accounts, for those built-in admins, by automatically developing that list of services and things of that nature of how the account is used. When we randomize the password for this account, we'll propagate that random password to everywhere where that account is used, which means that the likelihood, because of this discovery of you having a network outage, is greatly minimized.
And one of the difficulties with putting strong IT controls in place is that quite often it does require so much high-touch people time. So applications like yours and others that enable automation and discovery of information really help those people to touch the next layer of work, if you will, so they can be used in a more service-oriented or smarter kind of way, as opposed to trying to discover things and solve problems, prevent the problems in the first place, and let those people actually interact with users or solve problems.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that some of our customers have told us about how they manage services in the past range from the most obvious, which is we don't manage those accounts because we don't know how they're used. To we have a month set aside, a whole month set aside every year, you know, where we hire in these contractors, you know, which is the folks making $10 an hour to come in and change this, and you know, and then we deal with the failure rates after the fact, you know, and then we have our customers who say, well, we just use your tool, and you know, even right. though I'm not allowed to fully automate the process, I don't have to involve a whole team, you know, I can sit here on a late Friday night and do the change and see the failures as they occur for whatever reason because the system wasn't sane, or I can say, oh, that's not a real problem, you know, because it doesn't actually affect anything else, and I can go on with life and only involve myself and not 20 other people. So I'm saving the company money by doing that, and I'm saving everybody's time, and I'm in fact saving my time because I can do this in a single night, and then the people who are allowed to do it fully automated go, it's great. I let your tool run, you know, and it takes care of any errors that occur all by itself.
Right. Well, not only are you saving money and time, you're also, while saving money and time, creating a more secure environment.
Right. Absolutely. And then the nice side effect of all that is because everything is logged, you know, from everything that the tools do through all the password recoveries and whatnot, because all of that is logged and available in reports, and accessible to the auditors. We're also ensuring that these companies don't have problems with their own internal or external auditors. Think again of SOX or PCI compliancy. We're helping these companies make sure they don't get blacklisted. We are literally giving them air to breathe.
Right. And ultimately, if you're not getting blacklisted, if your auditors are happy, that's a side effect of a strong, well-controlled, and healthy environment, which really should be the ultimate goal, not just making auditors happy, but having auditors be happy as a side effect of just doing things really well.
Absolutely correct.
Gentlemen, I think we're just about out of time. Chris, can you walk me through one thing on this, which is walk me through the process of getting a password back now? I know it's changed all the time. I need to log in as an administrator. What does it look like to go get a password?
Okay. Well, with the Enterprise Random Password Manager, what it looks like is you go to the secured web interface. You'll input your Active Directory credentials, so we're not maintaining duplicate accounts, databases, one for us, one for them. Right. And then, so you log in, and then through the rights that have been delegated to you, you will only be able to see certain systems and even certain accounts. And then from there, you'll choose the account on the system that you have been delegated the rights to access. We'll log, of course, your login and this request. And then depending on how things are set up, you'll either generate a request which will be approved or denied for that password, or you'll simply be able to recover that password. Either way, it's going to generate an email of that recovery. And then at that point, you'll get your password, which hopefully is at least 15 characters long. And then if you sit there on that page for a period of time, that page will automatically navigate you away to help circumvent shoulder surfers, you know, those people watching everything that you're doing. You're going to take that password, which is going to be valid for a period of time, and do your work. Now, whatever that work is, if you haven't extended that checkout, and by checkout I mean only you have it. Nobody else can get that password at that point in time unless you're the one expressly giving it to them. Now, if you haven't checked in that password by the end of that lifetime of the password, then the password is going to automatically re-randomize because maybe you went home, maybe you're out to lunch, hard to say. But the password will forcibly re-randomize after a period of time unless you've extended the checkout. Now, if you're done, you go in, all you had to do was restore the image of the machine, rejoin it to the domain as that built-in administrator. Now you're done, and you don't need the password anymore, and you want to make sure that you're not responsible, then you can come right back into that web interface and click that check-in button, which is going to help ensure that, number one, the password will be re-randomized immediately. Number two, there's a log that you were done with the password, which is also indicative of the fact that the password was re-randomized. And, of course, we're going to log that check-in as well so we know when you did it, where you did it, and how you did it.
Cool.
Did I hear you say that sounded like maybe there was an option in there for some kind of a secondary approval before a password is handed to somebody?
Absolutely correct. The whole premise is you know, we want people to get passwords when they should have it. And in some cases, you know, it's as simple as just coming in and saying recover. But in other cases, they can, you know, it's not just guaranteed that they should have access to a password. So we do have a workflow process in there where folks can go through a request, and certain people are allowed to either grant or deny that request for the password.
I can think of several situations where that would be useful, especially in a SOX environment, like access to finance database management account, for example, that type of thing.
Sure.
Where you'd want to be able
to
document.
We can even go you one better, too, is that in the web interface, there's also an option to remote desktop to the target system. So not that it's necessarily offline, just that we need that built-in admin or Firecall account to get into the system to fix whatever the problem is.
Sure.
Without ever displaying the password to the end user, we can create an RDP session to those systems and automatically log them in with those administrative rights to do whatever it is they need to do.
And handle that as a one-time password event and then change it as soon as it's done.
All right, gentlemen. We've had a good security geek out. I guess we were due. and certainly some great insight into thinking about passwords at enterprise level. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.